morning and welcome to another edition of Talking Money. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller, your host for today. As usual on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we try to bring you information that is helpful, not only to help you do the right thing, but maybe keep you from doing the wrong thing. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. My guest today is V. Daniel. She is the CEO and President of the Better Business Bureau of the Upstate. Welcome, V, to Talking Money.
Welcome, Mike, and thanks for having me.
Oh, always glad to have you. I met V, we communicated some by email, communicated some that way, but in person met a few weeks ago. She came to speak to primarily a senior group at Mitchell Road Presbyterian Church, where I attend and belong. And I got to have a firsthand experience of the kinds of things that she talks about. And so I thought, well, we need to put this on the radio because a lot of good information there that people need to know about. A lot of scams that go on. Of course, as you know, V, you have a lot of complaints, I'm sure, on the investment. In the investment world, that's just the nature of it. It's not quite as bad maybe as used car salesman, but I think it can be there about as bad. But there was an article just recently in Investment News magazine that was discussing a local firm, San Leopard Securities. I've not met Trevor Gordon or Jack Bixler before, just seen their name as you probably have in the paper and so forth. And the FINRA, that's the regulatory arm, has charged this broker-dealer that they created and sold private placement investments in saltwater disposal wells with defrauding investors by charging exorbitant undisclosed markups totaling more than $8 million on those deals. Of course, they're based here in Greenville, and this is a charge. Whether or not for sure it goes all the way through exactly like that, we don't know, and hopefully not. And it's not what it appears to be. But they say when the conflicts arose, the complaint alleges that between December 2012 and July 2013, so we're going back a few years that all this started happening, Mr. Gordon and Mr. Bixler used the development company to get in between the fund and the deals to buy pieces of saltwater disposal wells, charging the fund markups of 161% to 270%. That's according to the complaint. So there's things that, of course, I try to warn Talking Money listeners all the time about being careful about things that sound too good to be true. You've never said that before, have you?
Well, I say it all the time.
If something's too good to be true, it probably is.
It is.
And so we see a lot of those kind of things. But especially as it relates to seniors, a lot of scams are targeted there, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we want to pick her brain a little bit here about the things that she sees happening nearly every day, certainly every week, to help us avoid those same, being susceptible to those same types of scams. So, what kind of scams you guys been seeing lately, and how do you cope with all that?
Well, the BBB, we see scams coming in, I mean, all the time at the BBB office, but we predominantly see where scams are targeting seniors.
Yeah.
And with that, probably one of the biggest ones that we tend to have is the Microsoft scam. And it's where scammers target seniors, and they're basically calling them and trying to get access into their computer, but they're making it sound like they're from Microsoft,
right,
and a representative from Microsoft, and then there's something going on with their computer that they feel like they need to check out because, you know, it's messing up their IT problems.
Right. So usually I think the person calling has an accent, and they're probably calling from some foreign country maybe, mm-hmm, or at least they're here calling them, but they're really just trying to get access to your computer so they can do some nasty things to it. So have you had some people that said that they actually let them in and problems that happened?
Yes. We have, since we handle dispute resolution at the BBB, we have a lot of complaints on many of the Microsoft companies are scammers, I per se, because I really wouldn't want to call them a company. Yes, so we do. We get through the complaint process is where we hear a lot about it.
Has anybody ever been able to get restitution from one of those companies? Or once this happens, is it gone? So you better be careful not getting involved with it to begin with.
Well, that's kind of funny that you say that, because we had a huge technical support company, per se, that was out of Greenwood, South Carolina, named Prime Technologies.
Okay.
And actually, they were indicted because we worked, they worked with the Better Business Bureau, the Assistant Attorney General's office here, worked with the Better Business Bureau because we called and talked with some of our investigation people that we work with about the company, and they got us in touch with that office. And in turn, when they actually went into the bank account of the lady in Greenwood that was helping this company out of India, they indicted the company. She had over $1 million in her bank account.
Wow.
So it was a pretty big scam.
So she needed a good financial advisor, too.
Oh, yes.
$1 million
she did.
In the bank account.
But, you know, Prime Technologies, and you had mentioned with the Indian accent, a lot of the technical, I guess, Microsoft scams do have the, you know, the Indian accent, but they're getting better at it. You know, they, you know, sometimes when you ask people, did they have a, you know, a foreign accent, and sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. They might be working with people here in the U.S., and being able to maybe supplement their income by going along with a scam.
A friend of mine's father was taken in by that and thought this, they sounded so legitimate, like this, there's something wrong with my computer and they need to get in there, that he gave them the credit card number and paid them a fee and they went in there. I don't think he had much damage once they got in there, but they did, he did allow them to get in that computer.
Well, what happens with that is when they get an access into your computer, I mean, they don't, people, the consumers don't realize what damage it, it's going to, what it is and what it's going to be, but they can take all the information off your computer if they have access into your computer.
So if you have your social security numbers, your driver's license number,
you have
account
a password
numbers,
file,
right.
That kind of thing, you know, your account, your bank account information. So it can start from whether they're trying to charge you a fee of, you know, anywhere from $199 to we've heard a couple of $100 to buy their maintenance plan to get rid of this virus that's on your computer.
Mm-hmm. So your advice is, anybody that calls you to say there's a problem with your computer, don't believe them.
Well, my advice would be if you're getting a call from a Microsoft representative to be very, I mean, I would not be talking to them because Microsoft isn't going to be calling you, telling you that you have a ding on your computer.
Microsoft really doesn't care.
Right. Well,
not that level.
So, if, you know, if you have a Microsoft representative calling you, I would start asking them questions and then call Microsoft to find out if they have a representative calling you.
I got an email some weeks ago that said that I was getting a refund. Mm-hmm. And I needed to go in and check and to verify the information on it. And I thought, well, this is really strange. Why am I getting an email from Capital One telling me that I've got a refund? And the refund amount didn't look right either. So I went on to Capital One's website and looked and found out, okay, there are people that are somehow they got that, the one information that wasn't all correct, but it was close enough. It was the right company that I got a refund from. The amount was not right. So it was enough to look legitimate that you'd be tempted to go in there and click on the link and say, yeah, here's my information. But of course, Capital One or any other credit card, they have your number already.
Yeah.
You don't need you to tell them what their number is.
There's a lot of phishing scams out there, and that's what they call. They're phishing for information, or if you click on any links in there, I mean, it could take down your computer as well.
Right. Boy, there's so many scary things out there, and you'd think if the people who do these things would spend that same amount of energy doing something legitimate, they'd probably be wealthy.
Right, but when you have these bad people, I mean, they see it as an advantage to make more money, and they continue to do it, and then they'll add twists to different things. They'll start off as a Microsoft scam, and then when they get caught, you know, they'll change it to something else.
Okay. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk some more with V. Daniel. She's the CEO, president of the Better Business Bureau, talking about scams and how you can avoid them and at least be aware of them. We'll talk maybe a bit about some charity scams, grandparent scams, and some of those kind of things that happen a lot more than we think. And there are so many people, I'd probably be one of those to think, oh, I'm never going to get, they're never going to get past me. I'm going to be too sharp for them. But they're so sharp on how they present themselves that they can get past sometimes even the most aware people can be taken in by that. So when we get back from the break, more with V. Daniels of Better Business Bureau of the Upstate after this short message. Plan First is excited to sponsor Talking Money, now in its 11th year of broadcasting. I believe Plan First is unique in the financial services profession for a couple of reasons. The level of education and experience of the Plan First team makes us specially qualified to provide the level of financial planning I think so many people need. Our goal is to utilize every technique and planning tool that's available to help you pay as little in taxes as possible. I'm sure you like that. Develop an estate plan that not only minimizes estate and gift taxes, but more importantly, I think it maximizes the effective transfer of the estate to the next generation, or maybe you prefer having some of it go to a ministry. We want to help create and implement a retirement income strategy. We also want to construct a portfolio that's going to satisfy your income needs, but we want to do it within that risk level with which you are comfortable. Now, to help avoid the obvious conflicts of interest that so many brokers and other, quote, financial advisors, unquote, who represent their company, not you, Plan First operates as a true fee-only, and we don't want to be confused with a fee-based firm. We have no commissions, no kickbacks, or no fee splits. We never receive any of that. Our only compensation is very transparent, and based on what I've seen, very competitive. It's a fee that's deducted right from your account each quarter. As a true fiduciary, Plan First works for you. If you'd like to know more, or if you think this is something worth checking out, please call Plan First at 1-800-588-7526 to speak with me, Mike Miller, or one of our advisors. Of course, you can always simply check us out at planfirst.com. Now back to Talking Money. And welcome back to Talking Money. This is Mike Miller, your host for today. Thanks for listening, especially those who are new listeners for us on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. We're glad to have you with us as well. You're listening, of course, at 11 o'clock on a Saturday, and we're broadcasting at 10 o'clock typically on WGTK. They're both on Wadehampton, but different stations, different times. But we're glad you're with us today. We're talking about scams, especially as they may relate to seniors. V. Daniel, who's the CEO and president of the Business Bureau of the Upstate, is my guest today, and we were talking about the Microsoft scam before we went on the break. So there's, you've got a bunch of them listed in your brochures here, and I'm curious which ones maybe you see the most, but what about these charity scams? I mean, would people really try to disguise themselves as a charity and try to take your money?
Oh, absolutely.
And what kind? What do you see?
I mean, we've seen, with the charity scams is exactly, they try to maybe, change the name of the American Red Cross and their information and make it something else, or the United Way. I mean, they'll go to any great lengths to change it to try to get you to send them money instead of it going to the right charity.
My wife has a standard answer for anybody that calls to ask for money. She says, I never give money over the phone. If you will mail me something, I'll be glad to review the material. Mm-hmm. And if I decide to do it, I'll send something. And I don't know if we've ever gotten it in the mail.
Yeah, we've seen it where seniors do bring in. I mean, we've had sometimes, I can remember this one man that came into the BBB office, and he had a bag of paper, and he set it up there, and he says, can you go through all this? Because this is all the junk mail I get asking for money.
Oh, no.
So, there is a lot that goes through the mail. And seniors are very giving. You know, they're very trustworthy as well.
Especially in the South.
The thing I say about with charities is just to make sure that you are given to the right charity, but not only that, look up the charity. I mean, the BBB has a charity review through our Wise Giving Alliance, and you can look up a charity and see how much of your money is actually going to the charity, how much is going to administration. I mean, you might, if 80% is going to administration, you might not want to give to that charity.
Not a good sign, yeah.
So, again, when Mike was talking early, I mean, when in doubt, check it out. But, I mean, just make sure that you're dealing with a good charity.
Even if not in doubt.
Right.
Check it out, because you may not think you're supposed to be doubting it, but you need to doubt.
Absolutely.
So some month, I think it was last year, one month, had a radio listener who had a good friend out in Colorado whose mother had died. She lived about 2 hours away, so didn't get to see her father, who was still living, very often. But she would go to see him about once a week and look through the checkbook and see what he's spent money on. And she would see this one organization that was asking for money. And it was actually one that said that we want to impeach Obama. Well, it was well past any chance that that was ever going to happen.
Right.
But he would send him, not just, $20, he'd send him $500. Mm-hmm. And she would tell him, don't do this. It just, it doesn't make any sense for you to do this. You're wasting your money. But she'd go back a few weeks later and found out he'd written another check. And so she would call the company or the nonprofit that was trying to ask for the money and say, take him off the list, that he's got dementia. He shouldn't be getting these anymore and so forth. Okay. Well, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks to get him off the list, but we'll take him right off. So she would tell him again, don't do it. Well, then she'd come back again and find out he'd written another check. Well, he'd forgotten they'd written the check, forgotten what she had said about not doing it. Because it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get him off the list, they'd send another mailing. When he responded with another check, they figured, well, he must still want them.
Wow.
And matter of fact, there were several organizations that were coming from the same address. So they may have stopped sending one from that address, but they kept sending the others. So I remind listeners quite often, as you get older, make sure that you have some checks and balances in your life. Somebody else is coming behind you that you trust, obviously, that can look at your bank account. Maybe they give them online access to it so they can see if anything funny's going on. Because as we get older, as you said, seniors, they can be more susceptible to those kinds of scams. We want to make sure that it's not our own relative, our own mom and dad that are being taken advantage of in that case. So speaking of mom and dad, so we've got a situation. You talk about the grandma scam. So my right. brother-in-law's sister got a call like that. That the grandson was in trouble, and I think he was supposed to be in Mexico, and they needed, I think it was $2,500 or $4,500 or something like that. And she did it. She thought it was legitimate. She thought he was in trouble. She sent the money down there. Well, my brother-in-law is a lawyer and was able to get the money back somehow. I'm not sure how, because to me, once that stuff's gone, it's like the trail is gone and you're not going to find him again. So is that something that's still going on?
We hear it all the time.
Do you really?
We hear it all the time. And, you know, not only, I mean, a lot of this stuff, and I would say to listeners is, you know, if you're on social media, it's probably a good idea not to post where you are. And that's how these scammers get this information is right through. I mean, we're posting, we're on vacation, we're posting, yeah. We're in Mexico. And so, you know, this, you know, and then they can look and see who the relatives are on in Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so easy to, you know, be able to go and proceed with a scam.
See who's gone. You couldn't even say, though, I've got a huge dog there. Don't go to my house while I'm gone. Yeah. They're going to protect my house.
That may not quite work.
Good. But I think, yeah, that happens a lot where people will, you see people, my wife sees it. I think one of the, it's kind of related to this, but, years ago, there was a show on this station that was, talked about gold, precious metals and things like that. And so they would talk about this one show. He was talking about that how important it was to actually have physical possession of the gold as opposed to having it in some other company that kept it in a safe for you, you know, to actually save it. And he was telling the listeners, just to everybody, he was saying, you know, I mean, I just keep my gold in my top dresser drawer right there in my bedroom. So, I mean, you don't have to have it any place fancy. And I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, you're kidding me. Why are you telling everybody where the gold is in your house? I assume we can look up and find out where you live and maybe on social media find out that you're gone and come get some gold.
That's not such a good idea.
No, not very smart. Any other scams that you see happen a lot? I mean, you have a lot listed in this brochure, home repair scams and sweepstakes and lotteries. And matter of fact, you had said something about Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yes.
Do people pose that they're Publishers Clearinghouse, but they're not?
Oh, yes. And that's done by mail, email, you know, phone call. They'll basically, you know, tell them that they've won something. And, you know, funny about Publishers Clearinghouse is normally money, and then there was the one that had it was a senior, and it was a male, and he ended up getting into a situation where they told him he won a BMW, and all he had to do was, you know, pay for the transportation fees, which is around $1,000. Well, kind of in your situation that you mentioned earlier, he kept forgetting about exactly how much money he was sending them, and he was never getting the car. And so, needless to say, I mean, he paid, I think it was a couple $1,000s, and he still never received the car. And we're seeing that more, you know, more and more where people are, you know, are falling into these scams, and it's really sad because, you know, with seniors, dementia, Alzheimer's, that kind of thing, they know who to look for.
Yeah. I've seen that before where someone has dementia and they forget and they keep on spending money, or they'll keep getting another request like, well, we also need an additional $500 for X before you can get it. And then they send that and say, well, there's a hiccup in this. So we still need another $500. And this will be the last one. You send this to us and you get the car. And there's no intention of giving them a car. There is no car, but they keep on trying.
Yeah. And you had mentioned earlier about checks and balances and, you know, doing that thing. But I always say, you know, with me, with my mom, my mother is 80 years old and I'm always checking in with her. I mean, all seniors need accountability partners, and I'm always asking, and maybe it's because I do work with the Better Business Bureau, but I'm always asking her, you know, who have you been talking to? You haven't been getting any money to anybody lately, or, you know, that kind of thing, because my mom is, she's fell into some of these scams. Even though her daughter works with the Better Business Bureau.
she forgot to ask.
Yes.
what should I do about this? And there's a little bit of pride in that, a little bit, well, sure, I'm not going to be taken.
And it's embarrassment if they find out they do, so they don't want to share it with anyone. Right. You know, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's not good. So I don't know if you have time to talk about this, because I think you mentioned this at the workshop you taught at church about the widower and the romance scams.
Yes. So
we only have a couple minutes left. Yeah. You have time to cover that?
Sure.
Covering it, because this was pretty interesting, I think.
Yes, the widower and, you know, actually comes along with Facebook, and being on Facebook is where, you know, the scammers, that they'll look up there to find out if you are a widower. And a lot of, actually senior women like to post that they're widowers. And so they find out that they are.
Senior women would be the widows.
Widows. Yes. And then they'll, find out they are, you know, their husband is deceased, and then they'll start what we call a romance on Facebook, trying to romance them. But basically what they're ending up doing is trying to talk with them and, you know, romance them, but then later on asking them for, you know, their information and, you know, money and all this kind of stuff. So
did you have one actually meet at the bank or something? Is that a different story? Somebody met at the bank in the bank lobby. That's not one of your stories.
That's not one of mine.
There was one of those that somebody actually was able to get them in the bank lobby, and they talked to them and they were able to to get some money out of them that way. All right. We're up against a heartbreak, so we got to stop this fun right now. We'll be back after this break and talk some more with V. Daniel, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, talking about scams and how to make sure how you can report them. We'll talk about that after this break. Being appointed as a trustee, that's a huge responsibility. And maybe you're going to be named as a trustee in the future, but you need to know the responsibility that comes with that. Some of the more common types of trusts are family trusts. Sometimes we call those bypass trusts. Q-tip trust is another that's typically used. That provides a surviving spouse with a regular income while they are living, but it makes sure that your heirs get the money, not the children of the new spouse if they get remarried. And we also manage a number of charitable remainder trusts. Now, this is a great way to get a current tax deduction. Provides you and your spouse with a potentially higher monthly income from the exact same assets, because there's some tax savings there. But while you're both alive. And then when you're both gone, the money goes to your favorite church, ministry, or charity. Now, as the trustee, you have a huge fiduciary duty to be sure those trust assets are invested appropriately. Plus, you are the one that has to be sure that all the tax reporting that's very unique to trust is filed on time. Most people think that you need to use one of those big bank trust departments to handle the trust, but I think there's a good alternative that you should at least consider. PlanFirst currently helps clients with many different types of trusts. Now, PlanFirst typically acts as the trust advisor. That essentially means that we help you not only manage the assets according to the trust document, we're also going to help you actually operate the trust, which is even better when you realize that we don't charge any extra fee for that work. Now, if you need a corporate trustee, PlanFirst has a relationship with several local and national trust companies.
I think this gives our clients access to some of the best real high-quality trust accounting and trustee services. And from what I've seen in the marketplace, that's a very competitive cost, too. Now, if you want to discuss this further with me, give me a call, 233-7405 or 1-800-588-7526. Or you can always send me an email at info@planfirst.com. Now back to more Talking Money. And you're listening to Mike Miller. This is Talking Money. So glad you're with us today. We've gotten some good information already passed along to you about scams and ways to try to at least recognize them. V. Daniel, the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau, is with me today. And thanks again for coming. It's glad to have you with us today.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's been fun.
Yeah, well, we got more fun to come. Mm-hmm. So the Equifax breach was not that long ago. And so I asked you at the break, well, are very many people still having issues with this and so forth? And it was interesting how many people that still haven't done anything about it that right. maybe should. So talk to us a little bit about what you guys recommend for that.
Well, when it comes to any breach, I mean, I think the first thing you should do is to make sure that you're, especially if you're getting information, that it may be your information that's being compromised, that you follow the proper steps. And then with the Equifax, I mean, they have done such a great job. There is, you know, as good as you can do after you've been breached is to provide great information for consumers. When you can go to their website, which is the EquifaxSecurity2017.com,
okay.
and you can look to see if your information has been compromised. It's just by clicking a button, and then they ask you two simple questions, and you put those questions in there, and it'll let you know if your information has been compromised or not.
Mine said you may have been compromised, but there are others, I think, that says you have been compromised, right?
Mine said you had not.
You had not. Okay, mine didn't say that. Okay.
Mine said
you may have been, mm-hmm. but I think other ones say, yes, you have been, I think.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
All right, so you follow their instructions to put watches on your, or I don't think you're freezing the account. What are
they actually doing? They offered a free monitoring, mm-hmm. and I think that was done through LifeLock. I can't remember who they used.
But I didn't recognize that name, but it was somebody. Yeah, it was a third party.
But basically, when you're on that site, it's really easy. I mean, it takes you right to the information, mm-hmm. and then you just there's two. I can't remember what the color is, but it's just a button, and it'll say if you would like to sign up for the free monitoring, mm-hmm. then you can sign up. They make it really easy.
Yeah. And some people have actually frozen their credit to,
right.
just to take it one more step.
Yes.
And that can have its own issues, I guess,
yes.
if you ever try to get credit yourself, mm-hmm. you got to go unfreeze it and come back.
Right.
But that may make you feel safer and
right.
actually be safer if you freeze it. And you can call Social Security even and get them to put freezes on your Social
right.
Security number. A lot of different ways that you can at least make it harder. Because the
yeah.
crooks want to go the easy way, so if you've made it too hard, they may skip you and go to somebody else that hopefully didn't listen to Talking Money or didn't do what they were supposed
right.
to do. Yeah.
In my last presentation that I did with seniors, they were mentioned that a lot of them would be putting the freeze on because, you know, they don't have a lot of people checking there. They're
yeah.
not out there looking to buy a new home
right.
or
they're not using credit anymore.
Or yeah. open a credit card.
Right.
So it's good for them to yeah. actually put a freeze on their account.
So what kind of – we talk about seniors, and maybe you've already mentioned this, but what was the most interesting scam that you've ever seen targeting seniors? Is that one you already mentioned, or is that a different one?
Yeah, actually, it was the Microsoft.
Microsoft one
was very interesting, but I can tell you about another one.
Okay.
That where it was kind of the scammers were relentless and they would not give up.
Oh, yeah.
Was we had and actually it's public news. I think it was WSPA that did the story.
Okay.
And they actually and throughout the process is basically, the same thing I mentioned earlier, this man had won a car and he was paying And then his daughter and I think grandson found out that it was happening to that he was giving this company money, and ended up finding out that he had made, you know, multiple deposits into their pocket. And so basically the scammer kept calling, and the daughter realized it, so she went and took the phone to Verizon, and on her way to Verizon the scammer had called like 30 times the same number.
Wow.
So to make sure, well, to make the long story short, is so that happened, and so she cut the phone off, and they had no access to him. Well, they sent the pizza delivery guy. The scammer sent the pizza delivery guy to the house. And the thing was once you get there, call me, because he bought a pizza and everything like that. And I'm sure what his next thing was, can you hand the phone to the older gentleman.
Right.
And while I was there, the daughter, or it was one of the grandson, the granddaughter, grandson, actually came up and said, you know, what's going on? Found that out and said, you know, he didn't order the pizza. This is crazy. And so sent him on his way. And then the next thing, they called a local plumbing company and told the plumbing company that they had some repair. It had some
same
repairs
scammer.
In the
this
house.
Is the same
same
person.
Scammer.
Yeah.
Same thing, trying to get him to go to the house, you know,
right. Call
him, and you know what I mean? Let him know that he was there so he can get in touch with him. But then the third thing was they did a wellness check with the police department.
Wow.
And the police department came, yes, and ended up calling the scammer after the grandson said, this is what's been going on. And he threatened, the scammer threatened the police officer and basically telling him that he was going to get his family. And I mean, he was just not going to give up until he was able to talk to, you know, the older gentleman to try to get more money.
Wow.
And you know, you can't, I mean, it's just crazy. And you can't fathom, you know, all that they actually would, you know, these families are having to endure just to keep scammers away from their, you know, mother, father, or, you know.
Yeah. So is there a place on the BBB website or someplace that people can look up and see what kinds of scams are actually going on now, so they can get an idea of what to be on the lookout for?
Actually, yes. And it's a good claim to fame right now when it comes to scams, because you can go on. We have a scam tracker. It's the BBB scam tracker.
Okay.
And you can go onto our website and go to our homepage, and there's a little scrolling program. It has a little scroll for programs, and you can click on scam tracker, and you can report a scam, or you can look up all the scams that are happening in our area. And, you know, it's a great way for us to basically, to be able to track all across the U.S. of, you know, where scams are happening, because, you know, before we weren't sure if this BBB, you know, if the BBB in New York was having the same problem we were having.
Okay.
But now we know. And also, not only, you know, law enforcement has access to our scam tracker, so now law enforcement knows.
So the scam tracker is a nationwide BBB thing, not just a upstate,
not
South
just
Carolina.
A local. No.
Yeah. Okay. So oftentimes you get the feeling, okay, there's no sense in me reporting this scam because nobody's going to do anything about it anyway. So do you have some results that say, okay, because of this tracking, we were able to shut something down, or at least make more people aware so that nobody wanted to do it anymore because they were aware of it already?
What I would say is a lot of time with scams, when we do work with law enforcement, they're trying to say how many times is this happening?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Numbers say a lot.
Sure.
So we're able to take, I say, please report the scam, because it helps us and it helps law enforcement knows that all the areas that it is happening in, so they can work in all the different areas to maybe track down who the scammer is.
So is it your recommendation that people go on the website and report the scam with BBB as well as call the police department? Or does the police department keep such good contact with the BBB site that they can tell what it is through that site?
Well, I think, you know, definitely they can go on and report it to the BBB, but if it's something where their safety's at risk or something, okay. you know, with
or
a
maybe
scam,
or maybe a big financial loss or something.
I would say, you know, you need to call the local police department because they're in the enforcement when it comes to that. The BBB is a nonprofit, but we do work together with law enforcement on Scam Tracker.
As well as the South Carolina Attorney General's Office for yeah. investment-type scams or something that are going on?
Right, we do. We, like I said, we're nonprofits, so we work with the government agencies that can do something about it.
Okay, very good. Okay, we got one last break to go before we go to the final stretch here of Talking Money. When we get back, we're going to talk about, have a little quiz. So V's going to ask me some security questions, see how well I have done protecting my own identity and my own information. And you can tag along with it, answer the questions yourself, and see how well you're doing. So we'll be back with that quiz and some more fun times with V. Talk about, if you can have fun time talking about scams, we'll do that after this short break. We'll be right back. If you have listened to Talking Money for any length of time, you realize that I'm trying to educate, not sell, any products. Unfortunately, so many financial shows are just that, shows. They're trying their best to discourage and even scare listeners in hopes that you'll make an appointment to visit with them, and that's when the real selling begins. Plan for sponsors this program with the primary purpose of giving you some real, actionable ideas that we think will help you maximize your financial opportunities, but with no hidden agenda, because we're not trying to sell anything. Of course, we always welcome the opportunity to visit with you if you think that the services we perform for our clients would benefit you. Our process is pretty straightforward. You simply call the Plan First offices. Our number is 800-588-7526 and tell Andrea or Tracy that you would like to speak with me, Mike Miller, or one of our other advisors. Now you can see all of our advisory team on the Plan First website, which is at planfirst.com. Another easy way of starting the conversation is to simply send an email to info@planfirst.com. Our first goal is to find out enough information about your current situation and your objectives to determine if it makes sense for us to even meet. If so, we'll set up a convenient time for you to meet with me and several other advisors that I think would work best with you. That's based on our conversation that we had on the phone. At the initial meeting, we want to learn as much as we can about your expectations. The next step, assuming we both feel comfortable moving forward, is to send you a link to a risk profile questionnaire. Now, if you complete that questionnaire, we'll assume you're comfortable coming back for at least the next meeting. When we meet the second time, we'll answer any questions that you thought of since our first meeting, because oftentimes we think of questions we should have asked after we leave a meeting, and then we'll review the risk assessment together. Now, at this point, we'll let you know if we think we are a good fit and we think we can meet your expectations. And this is where people think the hard sell begins. But don't worry, if you're not ready to make that decision, we will literally leave you alone until you get back to us. That doesn't mean that we don't want you as a client. We want the decision to be well thought and deliberate. We think this is one of the reasons that the vast majority of clients that come to Plan First stay at Plan First. And the phone number for Plan First, once again, is 1-800-588-7526 or email us at info@planfirst.com. And we're the final segment here of Talking Money. This is Mike Miller, your host for today. We're so glad you're with us talking about scams. You may not be happy you've been listening because it's a little depressing sometimes to think about all the bad people, the nasty people that are out there trying to get your money in the wrong way. It's a hard enough time just trying to get the right person to take your money when you're trying to decide between two legitimate places, let alone having somebody trying to take your money at the same time. We're not too happy with that. I do need to mention, I mean, the Better Business Bureau has rating systems. Plan First has been a member of the BBB for a long time. I'm not sure how long. And what's your highest rating? A+?
A++?
Okay, whatever.
No, it's just A+.
Okay, plus. Well, we're an A++. A+. And don't have any complaints. You can call the Attorney General's office. You can look at the SEC website. So it's nice to have a clean record. Of course, now, knock on wood, somebody will complain about something. But after 30 plus years, I think that's probably, even if we had one, it would be pretty good odds for any company to go that long. All right. So, in the last segment of this program, you've got a little quiz. What's the quiz called?
It's an online risk calculator.
Online risk calculator. So you can take it yourself later if you want to. And you probably just Google that, online risk calculator, and you can probably
actually,
come up with it.
It's put out by that LifeLock.com.
LifeLock, okay.
Which says the monitoring.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've seen, I think, most of the questions on there, and I've got some even follow-up questions from some of those questions, but V's going to ask me the questions, and we'll see how good I have done trying to protect my own identity and my own valuable information. So have fun with me. Go ahead and see what you can ask and get out of me.
Okay. This is no particular order. Do your passwords include words found in a dictionary or proper nouns?
Hmm.
That's a yes or no question.
Hmm. Do they have words, a standalone word?
Yeah.
Okay, so I may have a word in the middle of something
word that's found in the dictionary.
Not if I put the letters all together. No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, no. That part I got.
Well, that's good.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. I almost tried to tell you what it is. And say,
yes.
Well, this is what it is. Is that? No, I don't give any passwords out over the air.
Yeah, let's not give that out on the air. So that's good because it can be easier for hackers to crack passwords that include real names or words.
Yeah, there's a lot of masks now for letters or symbols. It's kind of aggravating to me, but I understand why they want it done.
Numbers, symbols,
anything,
upper, lowercase.
All those different kind of things. And you got to try to remember that all. Oh, there are some in the cloud programs that you can store your passwords on.
Wow.
So it's not on your computer. It's somebody, and it's protected to get into it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And hopefully it's not the same password that you use for everything else.
Yes.
and they can get into that one. Okay. One for one.
Okay. Do you bank online?
Yes. Is that bad?
Well, what they say, as convenient as online banking is for you and me as well, it also provides a way for a thief to gain access to your bank account.
Okay. So I have a username, then it goes to a password page, and then you can get in. Of course, now even the bank on those pages don't ever show your full account number.
Right.
I've gone to look for the account number because I needed it for something else. Oh, I'll just go online and find it. And I can't find it. My own account number. I got to go someplace else to find it, which is another protection.
Right.
That even if the crook got in there, they may be able to set up an account to pay a bill and it's them, I guess.
Yes.
But then you'd be able to track it. So far that hasn't happened, but, anyway.
So I guess the rule should be for you and me, since we both bank online, would be to have really good passwords, like they mention, and not use our, you know, proper nouns or words from the dictionary.
Yeah,
and to use those long passwords.
And not use the word password.
Right. Not use the
word
password. Not use your name.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other golden rules when it
comes to
that.
We talked about some
of
that stuff with Michelle Thetford, the head of cybersecurity at Schwab.
Mm-hmm.
I think that show was about a year ago, October of 2016. So if somebody's interested in that, you go to planfirst.com, click on the microphone on the home page. That'll take you to the Talking Money section. And I've got them listed there by topics, many of them by topics. So go for it. It probably says cybersecurity. I haven't looked for a while. And you click on that, it'll give you that particular program, and you can listen to it again. There's another valuable information. And also, I would remind listeners that you can sign up for the Plan First newsletter. So you can go to planfirst.com, and right on the home page there, put your email address in, and you'll get several newsletters, some of the blogs every quarter, and it doesn't cost anything, and we're not going to hound you. Once we get your email address, it's not a marketing thing for us to say, now we can go call you for something. If you want us, you still have to call us. But anyway, it is a way to get some more information about this. Okay, there's two questions down. So I guess I'm one for two since I do online banking.
Well, this might be an easy one because we talked about it earlier. Do you post pictures of your travels to your social media accounts while traveling?
Well, fortunately for me, I don't use Facebook. I tried it for 2 days. I didn't like all the requests I was getting for friends and everything. My wife says, well, they're not really friends. They're just trying to get connections. So I said, I don't want to have that many friends. I didn't want to spend all that time with it. She is on it, but she does not post pictures to it either. So we're safe on that one. No, we don't post pictures. We don't tell people we're going to be gone. Usually there's somebody else at my house, but I don't want them coming even when I'm gone if somebody else is there, if they're trying to do something bad inside the house. So no, we don't post pictures, but that's good advice.
That is good advice. And here it says, if you post a picture of the beach you're visiting while you're there, you could be telling would-be thieves that you're not at home, making your home an easier target.
Right. We don't want that.
And especially if they're looking to break into something.
Yes. Yeah. Alarm
as
or not.
Well.
I mean, even if you have an alarm, I mean, the good thieves can get in and out within 5 minutes. They've got a lot of good stuff, and the police aren't going to get there for 20 or 30 or more.
Right.
All right. So another question.
Let's see. Do you use geolocation services on your phone or other mobile devices?
Geolocation services. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what that is. So
that's the location service when you're on your phone that it tracks where you are. So you could be using it when you're looking for directions.
No, I don't. But I thought about using it. My son and his wife use it. And they, it's come in handy sometimes. We're waiting for David to get there for dinner because he works late a lot. And so where is he? So we'll look it up. So that's, what do they say about that?
It says by sharing your location when you post to social media, you could be telling thieves who might be watching you that you're not at home.
Okay. These are not posted to social media. So I guess it's okay if you're just using it between phones and not posting it to social media. So you can actually have that on your social media page that tells everybody where you are all the time.
Yeah. But it doesn't have, it says it's on your phone or other mobile devices.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So another way they can get you.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, they know where you are.
Okay. One more question.
Let's see here. Do you allow unattended strangers, contractors, repair people that come to your door, just people in general trying to sell you something into your home?
As a general rule, no. I guess I can only say yes or no. So I'd say no. Basically not. And not, especially not if I'm not there. They're not going to get in. But every now and then you'll have somebody say, I need to use your restroom. Oh, okay. So you kind of hang around to make sure they don't case out the place and aren't looking for other things while they're in there. Cause I think some could very well do that, I guess. What do they say happens?
It says basically your home is a treasure trove of unprotected, personable, identifiable information. You don't want strangers to have access to it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. That's probably all the time we have for those kinds of questions. I don't know how I did on that. There's a lot more questions there. So if you want to get it on there yourself, then you just go to the LifeLock website, I guess, and try to get this questionnaire and you'll see how well you're doing. But the main thing is, yeah, use some common sense. Not everybody has that, but use some common sense and shred documents. You guys have had some shred days.
Yeah.
We've had some shred days.
We just finished up with one.
Yeah, you did. We had one back in the spring, so we'll have another one ourselves back next spring. Very important to take advantage of those things where you can get that that information shredded. It's not around there anymore.
Right.
So more information from you guys, just go to your website.
Yes, just upstatesc.bbb.org, or you can call us at 864-242-5052. And
repeat that website once again. It had a lot of dots and B's and stuff in it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Upstate.
It's upstatesc for South Carolina .bbb.org.
Okay, very good. So thank you, V, for being with me today. It's great to have you.
Good information. Thank you, Mike, for having us, and really appreciate it.
We'll have to do it again soon, hopefully not for the same reason.
Great working with you to deter scams.
That's right. So keep protecting us.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.